हरि ओम ओम सदाशिव समारंभाम व्यासशंकरमध्यमाम स्वस्तिनो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ओम शांति शांति शांति। इन मुंडकोपनिषद last class when I stopped with the ninth verse, which means the first section of the first mundaka. Mundaka, Pratham Mundakam. The Mundakopanishad, there is a first section. The first section, there is a first chapter consisting of nine mantras. And the important verses also we have seen already. When we finish the first mundaka, we'll see again what has been seen in the first mundaka. Now we have to see the first mundaka, second section, we have to begin. Mainly, the mantra's words are not elaborate. They do not form complete sentences. But still, we derive the lessons, we get the meanings based on Adishankara Bhagavatpada's commentary. And mainly, the concept of Ishvara becomes very clear. Which means, for us, Ishvaraha, the Lord, Bhagavan, God, is none other than the very reality. All that is, there is the reality. And that reality is of the nature of consciousness. Reality, in fact, can be, has to be arrived at only in terms of its nature. So, Swarupam of Ishvara also is discussed in the mantra. We saw that. Which means, the reality itself is endowed with the power. The power unmanifest is Maya. And the reality looked at with its unmanifest power alone is given Ishvara title. So generally it was said, everything has come into existence from Ishvara. Tasmat annam nama rupancha jayate. The sentence we saw, the eighth mantra, states that everything has originated from Ishvara. Which means, the nimitta karanam of the universe is Ishvara. The intelligent cause of the universe is Ishvara. Intelligent cause also means the efficient cause of the universe is Ishvara. The material cause, upadana karanam of the universe is Ishvara. There is no intelligent cause or material cause other than the truth for this universe. So, the whole universe is manifestation of Ishvara, means this truth obtaining as both these causes manifest is this universe, which means the universe is non-separate from Ishvara. The whole universe is Ishvara. And this universe does not exist outside of the universal natural moral law and order. Whatever enjoys existence is an evolution, has evolved, and that evolution is within the realm of an order. Therefore, Ishvara being manifest as the universal natural moral law and order is also made very clear here. Therefore, it was said, the source of all knowledge is Ishvara. Sarvajna is Ishvara. Sarvavit is Ishvara. Sarvajna means all knowing. Sarvavit also means omniscient. So the knowledge, the source of knowledge of the truth, the source of knowledge of anything and everything is the only truth, which is Ishvara. Therefore, the omniscient Lord, the detailed knowledge or a specific knowledge, no knowledge is outside of Ishvara. So all that is Ishvara. Certain terms were specifically used, which we understand them again. Like tapas, jnanamayam tapaha. So the evolution is in such way that all punya papams of all individuals have to be exhausted. For all punya papams to be fructified, there must be relevant laws. So, how that everything becomes manifest? How the appropriate results, appropriate punyam, appropriate papam, appropriate karma phalam, how everything comes into manifestation? There is an order involved, and that order is backed by knowledge, and Ishvara is the source of all knowledge. So all these things were discussed. I'm seeing after long break. So anyway, once we start the text, and then we will again, everything will become clearer. So whenever in whichever Upanishad, when Srishti is discussed, everything has originated from Ishvara. Ishvara is the intelligent, the material cause of the universe, when it is said. Finally, the corollary that we have to derive is that whole universe is manifestation of Ishvara. That is the lesson. We cannot learn anything more than that. Which means Bhagavan for us in the form of the very cosmos. So Punyam is Ishvara, Papam is Ishvara. Punya, Papa, Anubhava, experience in the form of experience of pairs of opposites is Ishvara. Every experience is Ishvara. So all pairs of opposites are Ishvara. Desirable, undesirable situations are Ishvara. The actions are Ishvara. The knowledge back in the action is Ishvara. The order is Ishvara. The results are Ishvara. The laws determine results are Ishvara, because nothing exists outside of the Lord in the form of pure knowledge. In this scheme of things, where is an individual outside of Ishvara? There is no individual. Every individual is Ishvara, part of the whole. There is no, absolutely there is no individual. Absolutely there is no Jagat. Absolutely there is no Jiva Ishvara difference. Everything is relatively. Absolutely what is the truth obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. And this knowledge manifest is the order, the universal, natural, moral law and order. And the existence of everything within the realm of this order, which evolves in its own time, is looked upon as Ishvara's tapas, which is visualization. anyway, we will understand Ishvara better. Let us get into the mantra today. So, paravidya, aparavidya, dve vidye veditavye, paracha aparachaiva. Is it the third type of vidya? No. Knowledge of the source of knowledge is paravidya. Knowledge of the source of knowledge is paravidya. And the knowledge of anything other than the source of knowledge is aparavidya. Knowledge of one's own swarupam, the truth, is paravidya. Knowledge of anything other than one's own self is aparavidya. And this paravidya, source of paravidya and aparavidya, is one and the same reality, which is Ishvara. So, even the Vedas, we already seen all the Vedas, four Vedas, Rig, Yajur, Sama, Atharvana. One Veda, later on, compiled by Vyasacharya into four. As Rig, Yajur, Sama, Atharvana, all four Vedas come under the aparavidya. As I said, everything comes under aparavidya only. Knowledge of the source of knowledge alone is paravidya. Absolute spiritual wisdom is paravidya. The liberating jnanam is paravidya. But here, everything has come into existence from Ishvara. Means, what about the Vedas? The Vedas also, the source of Vedas is Ishvara. All Vedas are knowledge. So even the way of life prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda, in the Veda, is from Ishvara. For here, the next mantra, the next section begins. What we have understood briefly in 9 mantras, in terms of paravidya and aparavidya, Upanishad is going to elaborate in the following mantras. So, what is aparavidya? I've already seen knowledge of anything and everything other than knowledge of one's own swarupam, which is the very truth, is aparavidya. So, any knowledge of rituals also comes under the category of aparavidya. So, here it is said in the 11th mantra, how Upanishad just simply elaborates on Ishvara. When you look at it as something Ishvara's, how Ishvara is, Ishvara is in the form of the very Veda. Ishvara is in the form of the Veda mantras. Ishvara is in the form of the karmas prescribed in the Veda. This is how we have to see everything as Ishvara. We have to begin to see everything as Ishvara, the Lord. So here, to understand that, it begins like this. Let us read the first mantra of the second section of the first mundaka. Or you can say first mantra of the second chapter of the first section. We can either call it, mundakam itself is a title of the section. Tadetat satyam. Can you see that? Tadetat satyam. I was going very slowly, helping you memorize the mantras in the beginning until 7th or 8th, and afterwards it got disrupted. Now again, we'll take care the same way how we have to memorize the mantras with the proper thorough meaning. Anyway, tadetat satyam, tadetat satyam, mantreshu karmani, mantreshu karmani, kavayaha, mantreshu karmani, mantreshu karmani, kavayaha, yanyapashyan, mantreshu karmani, kavayaha, yanyapashyan. Next kama must be there. Yanyapashyan. Tadetat satyam, mantreshu karmani, kavayaha, yanyapashyan. Yanyapashyams is there. If you break it, yanyapashyan. Tani tretayam bahudha santatani. Tani tretayam bahudha santatani. Tanyacharatha niyatam. Tanyacharatha niyatam satyakamaha. Tanyacharatha niyatam satyakamaha. Yeshavah pantha sukrutasya loke. Yeshavah pantha sukrutasya loke. Repeat again. Tadetat satyam. Mantreshu karmani kavaya kavayo yanya pashyan. Mantreshu karmani kavayo yanya pashyan. Tani tretayam bahudha santatani. Tani tretayam bahudha santatani. Tanyacharatha niyatam satyakamaha. Tanyacharatha niyatam satyakamaha. Yeshavah pantha sukrutasya loke. Yeshavah pantha sukrutasya loke. So, when karma means a religious ritual is discussed, naturally it's part of karma kanda of the Veda. So when you say Veda, it is aparavidya. So the knowledge of karma rituals, which comes under the category of aparavidya, which is subject matter of the karma kanda of the Veda, is discussed in this mantra. Just by presenting one mantra on karma, Upanishad is trying to give us the core vision of the entire Veda. It is said here, mantreshu karmani, yani karmani, kavayaha apashyan. So he says, first of all, tad etat satyam. Tad etat satyam. The word satyam here, even though the word satyam literally means the truth, but here, the word satyam means the results of rituals prescribed in the karma kanda of the Veda are definite. The definiteness of the results, which means the ritual performed will produce a result definitely, which will not be a failure. The definiteness definiteness of the result is actually meant by the word satyam here. Because when you perform a ritual, we may have a doubt. What is the connection? We perform a ritual, we offer oblations. Will it produce result or not? Is it true or not? Whether we may become skeptical. So here, the Upanishad assures, we don't need to think about it. Definitely, the results are there. That's what is definiteness of the results of actions or rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda is meant by the word satyam. Tad ekat satyam. What he says, tada ekat satyam, they definitely produce results. What produce results? Karmani. Karmani, karma is an akaranta napusakalinga shabda. In plural, karmani. Karma, karmani, karmani. Karmani literally means actions. But here, it does not mean mundane activities. The word karma means action, karmani means actions. But here, it does not literally mean the actions. Here, it means the religious rituals. Or rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda. Performance of rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda are meant by this expression karmani. Therefore, the ritual prescribed performance of a ritual, rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda is religious activity. Religious activities or sacred actions. So mundane activities, worldly activities, we have secular activities. Secular, mundane, worldly activities are different. Laukika karmani. But Vaidika karmani or religious activities are nothing but performance of rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda. So karmani, mantreshu, these rituals, where are they prescribed? Where are they revealed? Where are they discussed? So this, perform this ritual for this result, you can get this, etc. Where are these rituals prescribed? Mantreshu. All these rituals, the knowledge pertaining to the performance of rituals, all about rituals, knowledge is revealed, only expressed in the mantras. And these mantras were revealed to rishis, the kavayaha. So the word kavayaha here means the great seers. Kavihi means a seer. Even the word kavihi means a poet. Kavihi here is a seer. So kavihi, kavi, kavayaha. Plural word. Kavayaha. Karmani mantreshu apashyan. So yani mantrani, yani karmani kavayaha apashyan. These rishis saw, apashyan saw. Saw means they got revealed. They have these, they had these rituals, knowledge of rituals revealed to them. So what they were, what they had the revelation and they revealed to the world. For yani karmani mantreshu kavayaha pashyan, those rituals, those religious activities, and with the knowledge pertaining to rituals, which rishis had, and which they also revealed to the world, yani apashyan in the mantras, Tani tretayam bahuda santatani. Tretayam bahuda santatani means we can say in three, the word treta, we can use two different meanings. in all three Karmakanda, in all three Vedas, they were discussed elaborately. There are so many rituals have been prescribed. Other can say, in Treta Yuga, mainly Treta Yuga, of all four Yugas, Treta Yuga is the Yuga where the performance of religious rituals is highly given importance. In each Yuga has its own specific importance for given type of sadhana. Suppose in people of, in each Yuga, in a given Yuga, people give importance for meditation because people are blessed with such mental condition that they do not worry about physical activities much. They can involve themselves only in mental activities. So in Satya Yuga, people enjoy such a mental condition that they can focus only in practicing meditation, mainly. Even though they were involved in performing rituals, mainly they're focusing on meditation. Like in Kali Yuga, people are supposed to be involving themselves in singing the names of the Lord because people are very highly disturbed. Like that, in Treta Yuga, it seems people were, even though other meditation, etc. was there, in Treta Yuga, particular Yuga, where the focus was, emphasis was on performance of rituals, invoking the grace of Devatas. Therefore, the word Tretayam means, in all three Vedas, many rituals have been prescribed, one meaning. Another meaning is, in Treta Yuga, the rituals were highly practiced and performed. And those rituals, actually, rishis discussed in the mantras which were revealed to them. And those rituals definitely produce result. Tadi etat satyam. So there are rituals revealed in the mantras. These mantras were revealed to the rishis. And those rituals were highly practiced during the Treta Yuga. And those rituals definitely produce results without fail. Tad etat satyam. This is the literal meaning of the first sentence. Tad etat satyam. Mantreshu karmani kavayaha yanya pasyan tani tretayam bahudha santatani tanya charathani yatam satyaka maha. This is literal meaning first. Tanya charata. So yani apasyan yanya pasyan. No, this is yan sandhi. Yani apasyan yanya pasyan. So yani is elective pronoun. Those rituals which were revealed, discussed in the mantras and which the rishis saw, and those mantras, those rituals have been practiced during the Treta Yuga mainly. And here now, second sentence he says, He Satyakamaha, he addresses, the mantra addresses Satyakamaha. So Satyam Kamayate Satyakamaha. Satyam is the result of action, the result of ritual, which definitely happens is Satyam. So Satyakamaha means those who are desirous of results of rituals are said to be Satyakamaha. Those who are desirous of accomplishing the results of performance of rituals. See, of course, whichever karma we do, we are interested in the result of an action. When we perform religious rituals, religious activities, also we do want some results. So people who are desirous of enjoying the benefit of the rituals, who want results, they are all known as Satyakamaha. So all those people, all the people are addressed as Satyakamaha. Those, hey Satyakamaha, or those who wish, those who want the results of rituals. Satyakamaha. Tani Acharata. Acharata, may you perform. It's imperative verb. May you perform. May you perform those rituals. Tani Acharata. Tani, them. Tani, Uyam Acharata. May you all perform those rituals. Which rituals? The rituals which are widely spread in all three Vedas, Karmakanda of the Vedas, which were importantly performed during Treta Yuga, which were revealed by the Rishis in the mantras, and may you perform them. What does Upanishad teach here? May you perform rituals means may you live a religious life. May you all become religious. May you become worshippers. May you become worshippers. May you become religious. May you live a worshipful life. May you perform rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda of the Veda. We have substitutes now. Immediately the question may come, oh, Upanishad is asking us to perform rituals. We do not know how to perform a ritual, and we do not even know whether we are eligible to do the ritual. How can we enjoy the benefit? All these doubts immediately will come. So we have substitute for these rituals nowadays. Okay. Now, so we will understand them with the commentary of Shankaracharya. Having said that, Tani Acharata Niyatam. Niyata means always. When should I perform a ritual? When should I worship? The question comes always. Niyatam. Niyatam, regularly, always, may you perform those religious discipline rituals. Performance of them itself is a discipline. And they were prescribed in all Karmakanda portion of three Vedas. And they were practiced definitely with the great importance in Treta Yuga. And they were revealed to the Rishis in the mantras. Tani Acharata. And the results are definite. That etat satyam. So Satya Kamaha, Satyam, the word Satyam implies result, the definite result of a ritual is Satyam. Satya Kamaha, oh, those who want those results. Satya Kamaha. May you perform them. Why? Because why you should perform? They said next sentence, the concluding word. Yeshaha Vaha Panthaha. Yeshaha, this. Vaha, for you. Panthaha, this is the path. This is the path means what? This is the means. For you, this is the means. Panthaha means path. You take it as means. This is the path means what? This is the way. This is the means for you. For what? To accomplish results. As result of good deeds. Sukrutasya loke. Sukrutam means the result, the definite result of the ritual is Sukrutam. Punya karma. The lokam is a result. Sukrutasya loke, for accomplishing the results of these meritorious rituals, this is the only way. You have to perform them to enjoy the benefits, to have the results. So Sukrutasya loke implies for accomplishing the results, desired results, expected results, and this is the only means for you. This is the only way for you. This is the literal meaning of the mantra. So here, what we need to understand is, in the Karmakanda of the Veda, the rituals have been prescribed. In Treta Yuga, people practice these rituals a lot. Specifically in Treta Yuga, even though in all four yugas, rituals are prescribed, but specifically in Treta Yuga, performance of rituals was given very great importance. And may you perform those rituals, may you enjoy the benefits of performing rituals. This is the teaching. Don't do simply anything you want to do, but may you perform only those rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda, which rishis received. Yani tretayam tatani, yani kavayaha mantreshu apashyan tani acharata. You can't do anything whatever you want to do. Whatever have been prescribed in the Karmakanda, we must perform. Why? Because if you're all satya kamaha, may you perform. The secret is revealed. Because in Bhagavad Gita, there's one word, kamadhuk. Kamadhuk means what? Whatever you want, kamadenu will give you. So Veda, in Karmakanda also, you want artha, kama, dharma, then perform a ritual, you can enjoy the benefit. You want moksha, then study Vedanta, attain jnanam, then there is moksha. For accomplishing all four purusharthas, we have means, we have knowledge. You need jnanam. That jnanam is available in the Veda. That's why it's called kamadhuk, kamadhenu. Jnanam is kamadhenu. So here it is said, which means the Veda discusses the different types of actions. We have Nitya Karmani, Nitya Naimittika Karmani, always called Vihitam Karmani, Vihitam Karma, prescribed duty. Let me talk about different types of karmas prescribed in the Karmakanda of the Veda. Nitya Karmani, otherwise called Vihita Karmani, mean prescribed duties. Then we have Nishiddham Karma, prohibited actions. And prohibited also comes under the category of karma only. Nitya Karma, Naimittikam Karma, Pratishiddham Karma, then Kamya Karma. So Nitya Karma, there's no option. We have to be done daily activities, Nitya Karma. Naimittikam Karma, to be followed rituals, but occasional. Naimittikam Karma. Pratishiddham Karma, prohibited activities. Kamya Karma, rituals performed, specific rituals performed for specific results. Nitya Karma we do. Nitya Karma means to be done, daily done, prescribed duties. This is Nishkama Karma because there's no specific result. Not for the sake of fulfilling specific desire, you perform Nitya Karma. Suppose every day you have to have a shower. It's not for fulfilling a specific desire. It is for general good. It is for your good health, hygiene, like that. So Nitya Karma means prescribed duties. There's no option. We have to follow strictly every day. Always you have to follow those things. Even that becomes a religious activity. Anything religious activity if the goal is Bhagavan. Anything you do becomes religious activity. So Nitya Karma, this is not for fulfilling specific desire you perform. It is called Nitya Karma. Because Nitya Karma is also said to be Vihitam Karma, prescribed duty. Prescribed duty. Then we have the Kamya Karmas, the certain rituals, specific rituals performed for accomplishing specific ends. It can be specifically for longevity, specifically for good health, specifically for progeny. Sometimes rituals are specifically performed for wealth, specifically for even marriage, specifically for certain things. Certain rituals are specifically done. Then there are called karma karmas. So karma karmas also are prescribed in the karma kanda of the Veda. So nitya karma, naimittikam karma, karma karma, patishuddham karma are actually prohibited actions. Means the avoidance of certain don'ts. So actions which are against dharma, avoiding actions which are against dharma, that the situation will tell you whether it's right or wrong. With the presence of mind is actually we have this, they called pratishiddha karma or nishiddha karma. Pratishiddha or nishiddha karmas. Or you can avihitam karma. Pratishiddha karma or nishiddha karma mean the same. Pratishiddha karma or nishiddha karma mean the same. Prohibited. Like not telling lies, not cheating, not betraying, or anything, all not going against dharma. The avoiding things which make you go against dharma, pratishiddha karma. They all karmani, all of them. So even karma karmani, all of them are prescribed in the mantras. And those mantras were revealed to the rishis. And they were not on all three Vedas, they are found one meaning, and they were specifically with great importance practiced and followed in Treta Yuga. So if you are interested in the results, those definite results, if you are interested in enjoying the benefits of those results, may you perform them. Tani Acharata. And here Shankaracharya, specifically just to make it easy, he emphasizes Panchamaha Yajnas. Which ritual should I perform? Which ritual should I not perform? I do not know all these things. How to understand performance of rituals? How relevant it is for us, of people of these days? We do not know anything about karma, rituals. Mainly, it is made very easy. In terms of Panchamaha Yajnas. The very word Yajnas, Yani Karmani Mantreshu Rishkavayaha Pashyan Yani Tretayam Tatani Tani Acharatha means the emphasis is may you follow Panchamaha Yajnas. Tani Acharatha, may you perform them, may you follow them, means may you follow Panchamaha Yajnas. So following Panchamaha Yajnas is actually as good as performing the rituals prescribed in the karma kanda, because ultimately we have to enjoy the benefits of those rituals. We are interested in enjoying the benefits. What are all the benefits we can have? Definitely performance of those Panchamaha Yajnas or practicing the religious rituals will contribute for individual well-being, one's own personality development, individual well-being, your physical well-being, emotional well-being. It contributes for the community well-being. It contributes for the well-being of the society where you live. It contributes for the economic growth, the prosperity. Tamil, they say, valam pera vazhipaadu. So prosperity. So it's all general benefits are there. For individual also there benefits are there. So even though it's very simple, we discussed Panchamahayagna many times before, I can brief here. Tani acharatha, may you follow them, means specifically not mentioned what you should follow. Those rituals prescribed in the karma kanda, may you follow them. Means you cannot follow which ritual, all rituals. So living a worshipful life is following the rituals prescribed in the karma kanda of the Vedas. Living a worshipful life means being religious. So being religious means living a worshipful life. Living a worshipful life means following Panchamahayagnas. Following Panchamahayagnas means living a life consciously. Consciously living one's life means living with alertness. Which will neutralize our papams, definitely remove our obstacles in the form of pratibandhas, which are results of our past papa karmas. It also contributes for emotional stability and intellectual sharpness. Definitely our mental wellness, not only physical wellness, mental wellness also is definitely taken care of. That's why I said two important words, emotional stability, intellectual sharpness. Sometimes people are intellectually very sharp, but emotional is not stable at all. The emotion, how unstable they are, the instability result can cause sometimes havoc. Mostly people, intellectually people are okay, but emotionally very, very immature. Sometimes emotionally okay, but intellectually not adequately sharp. So emotional stability must be there, intellectual sharpness must be there. That's how one can accomplish anything in life. So for which Panchamahayagnas are very, very important. Shastram emphasizes. That emphasis is implied by the word acharatha. Acharatha. May you follow. May you follow Panchamahayagnas in your life. So the very word yajna itself means worship. Yajna, masculine noun, yajanam, neuter noun. So yajna means worship. So Vedic form of worship, which involves kindling the fire, offering oblations, is also meant by the word yajna. So kindling fire, offering oblations, invoking the grace of given natural phenomenon. I'm repeating the sentence. Kindling fire, offering oblations, invoking the grace of Bhagavan in the form of a given natural phenomenon is a Vedic form of worship, which is called yajna. But here the word yajna literally means worship. But what are the Panchamahayagnas? Mahayagnas means a great worship, great forms of worship. What are they? First we say Devayagyaha. Devayagyaha or Devatayagyaha. So Devatayagyaha, Devayagyaha, the very word Deva actually should make us understanding of the meaning of the word Deva itself should make us very sensitive. Deva itself means effulgent. Effulgent means everything, every object which enjoys existence is actually illumination of consciousness, which means no object is inert, no object, the so-called inert material object is actually illumination of consciousness, manifestation of knowledge. Completely, you do not look at anything, any phenomenon here as inert matter, but you look at every inert material object in the world as manifestation of knowledge. First thing, Devayagyaha. So first of all, I look at everything in the universe. Even though I understand what is inert, how everything is inert in its by its nature, I look at everything in the world as manifestation of knowledge, illumination of consciousness. The minute I see everything as manifestation of knowledge, illumination of consciousness, then I do not look at it as an object, I look at it as Devata, Devaha. So Devaha, so Deva Yajnaha, Devata Yajnaha means worshipping the Lord, invoking the grace of Bhagavan in the form of any given natural phenomena, invoking the grace of the Lord in the form of any given natural phenomenon, looking at it as manifestation of, as a symbol of manifestation of the Lord, is Devata Yajnaha, Deva Yajnaha. It means, first of all, worshipping the Lord, being thankful to Bhagavan for all that we are blessed with, expressing our gratitude to Bhagavan for all that we are blessed with. So invoking the grace of Bhagavan through our daily worship and daily prayer, worshipping the Lord regularly. That's why niyatam, tanyacharata niyatam, means there's no day, no, we begin our day with worship and prayer. It is Devata Yajnaha. I'm sure I made it very clear. Deva Yajnaha. Then next comes Deva Yajnaha. Then Manushya Yajnaha. Manushya Yajnaha, worshipping the Lord, invoking the grace of Bhagavan in the form of fellow human beings. Again, worship. Worshipping, invoking the grace of Bhagavan in the form of fellow human beings means doing the needful, presence of mind, being helpful, even following dharma, not causing any pain, or being helpful in service to humanity as worship. See, with the Purushartha Nischaya, the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, even service to humanity becomes Manushya Yajna, worship. That is how work becomes worship. Is it service to humanity? Any work you do, even to earn a livelihood, whatever you do, that karma also becomes worship. If Purushartha Nischeha is there, if you are committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and you are committed to live a life of dharma, then it becomes Manushya Yajna. Or some, we need not do something specially for that. That's why Purushartha Nischeha is so much always emphasized. Why Purushartha? Without Purushartha Nischeha, without the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, Bhagavan, how can there be anything? Therefore, any duty you do, any service you do, anything you do, any service you do for humanity also becomes yoga, becomes worship. When you do it in conformity with dharma, the commitment to Bhagavan having the Purushartha Nischaya, it is Manushya Yajna. So Devata Yajna, Manushya Yajna, then Bhuta Yajna. Look at everything as Ishvara first, then see a fellow beings invoke the grace of Bhagavan through service to the fellow human beings. Then third is Bhuta Yajna. I'm not elaborating on this because we discussed many times this earlier. Taniya Charatha, may you follow them. To emphasize that, I'm repeating this. So what is then Bhuta Yajna? Bhuta, again, all beings, all living beings, not just the human beings. Even commitment not to harm, not to hurt other living creatures. And doing whatever is possible to contribute for the wellness of other living creatures. Not to destroy them, not to kill them, not to harm them, hurt them. Doing the needful, what is possible within our limits for the wellness of other living creatures is Bhuta Yajna. If possible, we can feed them. If we cannot feed them, at least we don't need to kill them, we don't need to hurt them. Again, this involves great sensitivity. Tremendous amount of sensitivity. Otherwise, we won't be conscious of not hurting other living creatures. So then we don't need to say, don't eat me, don't eat all this. You don't need to say that. If you're very sensitive, you can go out of desire for any other food. Anyway, so it's this, that is also worship. So there are people for animals. Can we say they're all following one? Their lifestyle becomes a Bhuta Yajna, people for animals. But without Purushartha Nischaya, the people for animals who do not harm people, animals are very kind to animals. We cannot take their lifestyle as yajna because they earn punyam. There's a punya karma. They earn punyam because they're kind to animals, they look after animals, they don't harm them. That's fine. They earn punyam, but doesn't become yajna because they do not have Purushartha Nischaya. With the Purushartha, if the people for animals are also the people of Purushartha Nischaya, then their lifestyle becomes a yajna. Is it clear? Because if you do not, if you forget your own goal, commitment to Purushartha Nischaya must be there. Commitment to the pursuit of knowledge must be there. Bhagavan must become your goal. Then commitment to live a life of dharma is there. Then you follow, you also are very kind to animals, so you fight for these things, animal wellness, etc. Then it becomes yajna. स्वभूत यज्ञ. सो देव यज्ञ, मनुष्य यज्ञ, भूत यज्ञ, वी हैव पितृ यज्ञ. पितृ यज्ञ, ऑफ कोर्स वी लुक एट एवरीथिंग एज ईश्वर, स्पेसिफिकली अवर एंसेस्टर्स, योर पेरेंट्स ऑनवर्ड्स, इफ दे आर अलाइव इज ओके, इफ दे आर नॉट अलाइव, ग्रैंड पेरेंट्स, ग्रेट ग्रैंड पेरेंट्स, देव ग्रैंड पेरेंट्स, even if we do not know them. So worshipping Bhagavan, invoking the grace of Bhagavan in the form of the departed souls. I'm not saying departed self, okay? Self doesn't depart. The very word soul, we don't like to use. The ancestral worship is one of the forms of worship. We have Shraddham, we have Amavasya Tarpanam, we have a new moon day, a special ritual to satisfy our ancestors, and worshipping on the death day. Even if you do not know how to be exactly prescribed, at least on the death day, and praying, the worshipping them, expressing your thanks to them. Not only so, we have this Pitri Yajna. It comes under the Naimittika Karma. Yeah. And one more thing, lastly, I take a few more minutes to complete this. I promise I'll do 1 hour class today. Next week I will still continue. I'll be completely recovered. Then we have Pitri Yajna. Then the last one we have Brahma Yajna or Rishi Yajna. So Deva Yajna, Manushya Yajna, Bhuta Yajna, Pitri Yajna. Last we have Rishi Yajna or Brahma Yajna. So Brahma Yajna, Rishi Yajna. The word Veda has another name, Brahma. Of course, absolute reality is always implied by the term Brahma. Brahma also means, Sagunam Brahma means Ishvara. Brahma also means Veda. Okay, the word Brahma, not only does it mean the reality, it also means one of the words meaning Veda is Brahma. So Brahma Yajna or Rishi Yajna means studying the scriptures. Studying the scriptures properly and trying to understand the teaching and trying to live the teaching is also a form of worship. Now you're studying Upanishad, study is Brahma Yajna. And trying to understand the teaching is Brahma Yajna. Trying to live the teaching is Brahma Yajna. Those days, a specific Veda, the people of specific Veda, specific families, they were asked to memorize certain Vedic portions, even Shakas. Nowadays, that tradition has gone. Most of the people are not following that. So at least different Parayanams, studying Bhagavad Gita, studying Upanishads, understanding them, living the teaching, all Brahma Yajna. Because how can you live the teaching if you do not understand the teaching? How can you understand the teaching if you do not make use of the means of knowledge, the pramana? Therefore, study, shravanam is so important. Listening to the unfoldment of the teaching, even memorizing the verses which contain teaching, all Rishi Yajna. Because worship, this is the way we can pay our respects and debts to our rishis. They have given us the wisdom, and by studying those, what they taught us, is the way we can pay our respect, the debts back to rishis. Worshipping rishis, worshipping Bhagavan in the form of the text Shastram. We look at this very Shastram as Bhagavan. Veda Shastram for us is Bhagavan. Veda Purusha. Veda is Bhagavan for us. So invoking the grace of Bhagavan, even if you do not study the Veda, at least Vedic contents, Vedantic contents, in the Bhagavad Gita, etc. Studying the teach Shastram itself is a form of worship. This is Rishi Yajna, Brahma Yajna. Like this, we have Panchamaha Yajnas. Once Shastra study is there, and repeatedly importance of Dharma is emphasized, and you can't afford to go against Dharma. We have to follow Dharma. That is why that is very important. So any service you do to any being, whether human beings or other fellow beings, other living creatures, or whether you do anything becomes effective. Even our karmic karmas, when you perform rituals with a specific ritual for a specific end, as prescribed in the karma kanda, if you want it to be effective, then definitely we must have purushartha nischaya, we must be committed to the pursuit of knowledge, must be committed to live a life of dharma, then even yajnas become effective. That is very important. This is the basic teaching we need to learn from this mantra. Apart from that, I can elaborate on this mantra, which I will do next class. I want to introduce the mantra. I have not yet finished the unfoldment of this mantra. I have read the mantra, just introduced the mantra. This mantra, I said, when I say talks about karma, rituals, means it's a portion belonging to aparavidya. Of course, our interest is ultimately we're interested in paravidya. But still, if we have to understand the core vision of the Veda, this is what, by studying the whole Veda from page 1 to the last page, what we need to understand is, we must have purushartha nischayaha. We must be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. And we must make all possible efforts to prepare our mind for jnana, for which we need to live a life of karma yoga. And living a life of karma yoga implies living your life consciously, for which Shastram prescribes Panchamahayajnas. If you are following consciously these five Panchamahayajnas, five yajnas, five forms of worship, actually you are following the Vedic way of life. Following Panchamahayajnas is following the Vedic way of life. They are conscious of, you can see in all these Panchamahayajnas, the most important lesson is Ahimsa Paramo Dharmaha. We consciously live our lives. We do not hurt, cause pain to fellow beings, other living creatures. We are very conscious of our ancestors who contributed for what we are today. And of course, we thoughtfully study the scriptures. Respectfully. And we, of course, we understand, we invoke the grace of Bhagavan, looking at everything in the world as Bhagavan. This is Panchamahayajnas. This is the basic introduction to this mantra. I have not yet completed this mantra. Please remember. Tadetat satyam. That indeed, this is the truth. What is the truth? This is definite result of all ritual prescribed karma kanda are definite. And they do happen. So those rituals which are elaborate discussed in the karma kanda of all the Vedas, and the rituals were given importance in Treta Yuga of in keeping with the mental condition of people of Treta Yuga. And those rituals were revealed in the mantras which rishis saw, revealed, which rishis got, received. And may you perform those rituals, then you can enjoy the benefit of those rituals. This is the only way you can earn punyam. Means this is the only way you can prepare your mind for jnana. This is the literal. This is all information we need to understand as part of this mantra.
Swamini, can I ask you, what is the difference between Deva Yajna and Brahma Yajna, please?
Yeah, Deva Yajna. See, I told you, Deva Yajna is worshipping the Lord, invoking the grace of Lord in the form of everything in the world, any natural phenomenon. You can worshipping the mountain, worshipping the river, worshipping trees, worshipping anything is a Deva Yajna. Worshipping Bhagavan in the form of any natural phenomenon. In fact, Nitya Puja. Every day you light the lamp and then you offer flowers and then offer some Ayurveda. Nitya Puja. That is Deva Yajna. Siddhu. You don't go and worship nowadays separately outside. Mountain or river or tree. In we have small murti at home. That murti symbolizes everything. If you bow to the murti in your puja room, you are bowed to Bhagavan in the form of all the natural phenomena. That expresses your gratitude to Bhagavan. That is, Deva Yajna is worshipping the Lord. Whereas Brahma Yajna means studying the scripture. Brahma means Veda, I told you already. Even if not original Veda itself, at least studying the Vedic scriptures or Vedic the scriptures which contain Vedic teaching. Studying the scripture itself is what in form of worship. Shastra study is a form of worship. That is Brahma Yajna. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.